Well, brethren, when my mom was called into the church as I was growing up, we lived in an area that was rather a long distance away from many congregations. As I recall, we were about 4.5 hours from the closest one. And it wasn't until a couple of years later that we actually moved to another location in the state where we were then able to gather with God's people on the Sabbath. And we were able to participate in a lot of the activities that go along with being part of the Church of God community. I remember shortly after that move, one of the first activities that we were able to participate in was gathering for the night to be much observed. I remember gathering in a member's home, and as I recall, it was the first night to be much observed that I had participated in. Even though I was a young boy, there were actually several things about that night that I can still remember. It was about 35 years ago. I remember the name of the family who we gathered with on that evening. I can still remember what one of the main courses was for dessert. It was hot apple crisp, and that was the first time I'd ever eaten hot apple crisp, you know, with a scoop of ice cream melting over the top, and to me that was the greatest thing ever. If I recall, I went back 2 or 3 times for more helpings. I still remember it being explained why it was we were going to wait until after sundown before we began the meal on the night to be much observed. I remember listening to the conversations of the adults that were present. They were discussing what occurred on that night, the deliverance of Israel from Egypt and the miraculous miracles that took place leading up to the Passover event and then the following night in which God had brought his people out of bondage. In the Church of God, the manner in which we come together and assemble and observe the night to be much observed is very important to us. We look forward to it. We plan for it a long time in advance. We make very special preparations. And when we come together, we rejoice in the symbolism and the meaning that is very rich to that night. It's been a while. I went back to the archives and looked, and it's been 5 years since we actually had a sermon here on the night to be much observed. And so I thought now would be as good a time as any to, I guess, refresh our focus and remind us why it is that we do gather together on that night and observe it in that way. The night to be much observed follows the Passover on the next night, and it is the opening event to the days of unleavened bread. So again, in this first split sermon, we're going to address the topic of the night to be much observed. I'd like to begin in Exodus chapter 12. If you do a lot of studying into the Passover and the Exodus and the night to be much observed, your Bible probably almost naturally falls open to Exodus 12. It's the go-to chapter in this regard. So if you turn there, please, to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 42. That verse contains the historical context of the night to be much observed. Exodus chapter 12, verse 42, it says, "It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations." And so there's actually some technical aspects to this verse that we'll look at a little bit later in this message, but verse 42 here is the scriptural basis for which we understand that there is to be an observance on this night. The original King James Version says, "It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations." And so it's actually the wording from the New King James Version from which the church has adopted the term the night to be much observed. Now, as I said, the night to be much observed follows the Passover on the next night. It is the opening event to the days of unleavened bread, which begins on the 15th day of the first month on the Hebrew calendar. And the night to be much observed commemorates the night that God brought Israel out of Egypt, commemorates the night that he delivered them from bondage. It's the night that the bonds of their slavery was broken. Now that being said, brother, not everyone looks at Exodus 12 and verse 42 and sees it in the same way that we do. For some, they feel that this verse is referring to the Passover night and is therefore not a separate observance or event from the Passover. And they take the night that we acknowledge as the night to be much observed and they observe it as the Passover, believing that the Passover occurred on the same night that Israel departed from Egypt. The Jewish community by and large takes that perspective, and that's how they understand this verse and practice their Passover observance. So the question is, brethren, why do we keep the Passover fully on the 14th? And why is it that we observe as a separate observance the night to be much observed on the 15th, the night that begins the days of unleavened bread? We'll answer those questions today, and in doing so, we'll see and understand the significance that is behind the special observance of the night to be much observed. Let's back up in Exodus chapter 12 to beginning in verse 1. We'll lay the groundwork historically leading up to this night. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household.'" Verse 4, it says, "And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." It says, "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." And so when is the observance of the Passover to be? Well, it's to be the 14th day of the first month. Continuing on in verse 7, it says, "And they shall take some of the blood, put it on the two doorposts, and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." Instruction says, "Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head and its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and whatever of it remains until morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with your belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Verse 12 says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night. I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute my judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be for a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And so this day shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." And so that's the description of the Passover. Again, the lamb was to be kept until the 14th day of the first month. It was to be killed at twilight. And if you go back and research the Hebrew word that is translated twilight, it literally means between the two evenings, the time frame between sunset and dark. And so that's when the lamb was to be killed. Additionally, it was to be eaten on that night in the particular manner. And whatever remained until morning was to be burned up. And the entirety of this ceremony was to take place on the 14th. Let's go to Numbers chapter 9. You may want to put a marker in Exodus 12. We'll be back. Numbers chapter 9 gives us a little more insight into the timing. Numbers 9, beginning verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, 'Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time.'" What was the appointed time? Well, verse 3 says, "On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it." All of its rites and ceremonies included the killing of the lamb, the cooking of the lamb, the consuming of it, the burning up remained until morning. It was all to be done on the 14th, not partially on the 14th and partially on the 15th, as some do. Carrying on, again in verse 4, It says, so Moses told the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai. According to all the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did. Again, they kept it according to all of its rites and ceremonies on the 14th. I think we understand, brethren, that in the Bible, a day essentially goes from evening to evening. When we anticipate the Sabbath day at sundown Friday, we understand that's when we begin the Sabbath, at the beginning of the day. Sundown at the end of Saturday then concludes the Sabbath and begins the next day. And so if you're going to kill the lamb for the Passover on the 14th, and you're going to observe the Passover according to its prescribed manner with all its rites and ceremonies, then the lamb will be killed at twilight at the beginning of the 14th, not at the end. Because you see, if you kill the lamb at twilight at the end of the 14th, you keep it with the rites and ceremonies, it is no longer the 14th, by which time this is concluded. You're now into the 15th. You're into the night that we keep as the night to be much observed, the night that Israel walked out of Egypt. Again, it is the 15th. The first day of unleavened bread. Let's continue to distinguish the difference between the 14th and the 15th. Let's go to Numbers chapter 28, and verse 16. Again, we're looking at the distinction between the day which is the Passover and the day which begins the days of unleavened bread. Numbers chapter 28, verse 16. And it says, on the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And on the 15th day of this month is the feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. So again, we see that the Passover and the days of unleavened bread are separate days from one another. The observance of the Passover was on the 14th. Night to be much observed, which we commemorate, is on the 15th at the beginning of the days of unleavened bread, the night Israel walked out of Egypt. We won't turn there for time, but Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1 says that Israel came out of Egypt by night. And so it's pretty clear the night they came out was not the Passover. It was the first day of unleavened bread. Let's go back to Exodus 12. We'll continue to follow this thread. Exodus 12, beginning in verse 21. Here God had given the instructions to Moses and Aaron. Now Moses is taking this to the people as to how they should regard and keep the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21 says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel of the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. And so the command is they were to stay in their homes all night. And that's important. Let's remember that as we carry on. Verse 23, it says, for the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians. When he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Brethren, where do you think that the Passover got its name? Could it possibly be from the event of the destroyer passing over the Israelites? I leave that to you to think about. Could the Passover of the 14th be related to the passing over on that night? Verse 24, it says, and you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. And it will come to pass that when you come into the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be that when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it's the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Verse 28, then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." When did the children of Israel leave Egypt? Well, Deuteronomy 16:1 says they left by night. All right? Moses was called by Pharaoh. He called for Moses and Aaron as well by night, told them to leave. But did they leave on that night? Did they leave the same night that the destroyer passed over? Did Israel walk out of Egypt on the night of the Passover? No, they did not. How can we know that? Again, Exodus 12, verse 22. It says, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning." Israel did leave Egypt by night, but it was the next night. It was night of the 15th, the night that was the beginning of the first day of unleavened bread. It was the night that we observe as the night to be much observed. Numbers chapter 33. In Numbers 33, beginning in verse 1. We have a chronology of the travels here of the people of Israel. Numbers 33:1. It says, "These are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron." When it says they went by their armies, it means they went out organized by their tribes. Verse 2, "Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. And these are the journeys according to their starting points. Israel departed from Ramses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. On the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians were bearing their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them. Also on their gods the Lord had executed judgment." Again, brethren, Israel came out of Egypt on the night of the 15th. Scripture makes it clear they came out on the day after the Passover. Back to Exodus chapter 12. Picking it up in verse 33. Exodus 12, verse 33. It says, "And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, 'We shall all be dead.' So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes and on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had gone according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they had granted them what they requested. And thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. And a mixed multitude went up with them also, in flocks and herds, and a great deal of livestock." It's estimated that 2.5 to 3 million people walked out of Egypt on that night. If you add to that the flocks, the herds, the belongings, all these things that needed to gather together, you can understand why the daylight portion of the 14th following the Passover observance would have been a time needed for organization and for staging their departure. People lived throughout the region of Goshen. They had to actually gather their belongings, the flocks and herds, and assemble at Ramses, which was the staging ground for the exodus from Egypt. Additionally, Israel walked out according to their tribes, which obviously took time to assemble. And so if you consider not only that they were not to go out of their house till morning on the Passover night, We do understand that, but also you consider the fact that had they left that night, they would have had to gather, pull in their flocks, their herds, their all their possessions, assemble at Ramses according to their tribes, and walk out of Egypt while it was still night. We can see, brethren, that that would be logistically impossible to do on the 14th. Verse 39 says, "And they baked unleavened cakes of dough through which they brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared for provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass that at the end of the 430 years, on the very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." Now the 430 years does not mean that they had been slaves for 430 years. It was actually 430 years from the time that God had made the covenant with Abraham until the day that Israel walked out of Egypt. They had actually been literally slaves for about half of that time. Now we come to verse 42, which again is our core verse for distinguishing the night to be much observed. And it says, "It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord of solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations." So again, this explanation, this designation of why they would keep this night in verse 42 is different than the explanation of why they would keep the Passover in verse 27. This is the night, brethren, that we come together and observe on the first day of unleavened bread. It's a night to be much observed. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we can get a little bit technical with this verse. The phrase here that's translated "a night of solemn observance" actually somewhat obscures the full meaning and the context of the passage. According to the Hebrew, a more literal translation would be "night of watching" or "night of vigil." And if we read the verse in that context, it actually gives us a deeper understanding as to the intent of this verse. It was God who kept vigil over Israel on that night. He kept vigil to bring them out of the land of Egypt in safety. And in remembrance of that, Israel was to keep this night as a vigil to the Lord as well. I want to read to you from a few separate Bible translations that actually more fully express the intent of the Hebrew as it's written. The English Standard Version says, reads this way in Exodus 12, verse 42. It says, "It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So this same night is a night of watching kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations." New International Version says, "Because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt, on this night all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for generations to come." And finally, the God's Word translation says, "That night the Lord kept watch to take them out of Egypt. All Israelites in future generations must keep watch on this night since it is dedicated to the Lord." And I think if we read it in that understanding, brethren, it makes the understanding and the intent of this night a little clearer. So what about us today? In just under 2 weeks, we'll be gathering together. We will keep the Passover, the beginning of the 14th. The next night we'll gather together in one another's homes to observe the night to be much observed. And it's a night that we reflect on God's deliverance of Israel from bondage in Egypt. But not only that, it's a night in which we remember our deliverance from bondage to sin as well. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, He is our Passover, He is the Lamb that was sacrificed for us. Through that, God has set us free from the slavery of spiritual Egypt. Throughout that process of coming out of this world, walking out of spiritual Egypt, God has watched over us. He's cared for us. He continues to keep vigil over our lives today. In response, brethren, you and I need to recognize His play in our life, and we need to recognize the need to continually keep watch over our own spiritual condition as well. For us, it should be a night of vigil, looking to what God is doing in our life, looking to the strength and the need to maintain our spiritual condition as well. The church tradition on the night to be much observed is that we come together in one another's home and we fellowship with a meal. And that is a tradition. The night is to be observed, but the manner in which we observe it and we come together is a tradition of the church. I believe it is a good one, and we continue it yet to this day. It's a time when we rejoice in one another's company and in good food. You know, maybe it's a night we prepare a special meal. Perhaps you purchase a special cut of meat. Maybe you make a special dessert. Many people do things to make the night just that much more enjoyable and memorable. You know, maybe we spring for a bottle of wine with a cork as opposed to a screw cap. Either way, brethren, it is a special night. But in the midst of all of that, let's not forget the intent and the meaning behind this night. It is a night of deliverance. It is a night of freedom. And it's a night of watching. We need to watch what God is doing on our behalf. Watch our spiritual condition and our response to Him as well. In conclusion, I'd like to read to you the church's doctrinal statement on the night to be much observed. It says, "The evening at the beginning of the first day of unleavened bread is a very special evening in the Church of God. On this evening, most members invite other members to their homes to enjoy a special meal and fellowship. Others may choose to gather in a restaurant or similar location to celebrate the evening. There was a time in the Church of God when all members gathered together as a congregation to celebrate the night to be much observed. Currently, most members gather in small groups in homes or in other locations. In the United Church of God is our desire to continue this very special observance. We find mention of this evening in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 42. In the King James Version it reads, "It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations." Other translations render this expression a night of watching and to keep vigil. We celebrate the evening in commemoration of these events from long ago as described in the pages of the Bible. We also recognize the symbolism for a Christian today. As the Israelites departed from Egypt, so must we repent of sin. As we remove leavening from our homes, we symbolize our repentance of sin, our acceptance of Christ's sacrifice as our Passover. It is only through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ that our sins may be removed from us. The night to be much observed begins the first holy day of the spring. It is a joyous occasion that we celebrate and worship to the great God. If you plan to celebrate the special evening in a restaurant or other public place, we recommend that you make plans in advance to have a private room or some location where you may be able to truly enjoy the fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Brethren, it's my desire that all of you would come together. We assemble on the Passover, we assemble then on the next night, on the night to be much observed. My desire that you would have a rewarding and spiritually uplifting holy day season.